Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we tell you about a nature film that stars a group of monkeys. We will have more on that story later in the program. But first, 150 people were killed when German Wings Flight 9525 crashed in the French Alps. Officials say the co-pilot flew the airplane directly into a mountain on purpose. Now, experts wonder if possibly removing pilots from planes would improve airline safety. Some suggest, at the very least, letting officials on the ground take control of a plane if a pilot is acting strangely in the cockpit. But airplane industry experts warn that the technology has many problems. And they say the tragic crash of the German Wings flight was an anomaly, an extremely unlikely event. Each year, more than 3 billion people around the world take about 34 million flights. Fewer than 10 crashes over the past 30 years were purposely caused by commercial airline pilots. The United States military already has pilots operating drone aircraft remotely. The pilots are usually based far away from the drones, even on the other side of the Earth. But some experts worry about doing the same for passenger aircraft. Mary Cummings is a former U.S. Navy fighter pilot. She now works as a professor at Duke University in North Carolina. In her words, the real reason a person wants another human in the cockpit is because they want to believe there's somebody in the front who shares their own fate, and thus, if anything goes wrong, they will do everything they can to save their own lives. She and other experts believe cargo planes will be the first aircraft to fly over the U.S. without pilots. They say big cargo companies would go from two pilots to one, with a team of pilots assisting from the ground. Then, all operations would be done by flight specialists on the ground. Most aircraft movements other than takeoff and landing are already automated. They are done with the help of computers and other machines. When pilots want to change a flight path, they program the new directions into the plane's computer instead of making the turns themselves. Aircraft manufacturer Airbus is experimenting with the idea of a windowless cockpit. The company is testing a system of cameras and video monitors that would give pilots a wider, more detailed look at their surroundings. Todd Humphreys teaches aerospace engineering at the University of Texas. He says it would not be hard to go one step further and have the pilots watching those same monitors from a room on the ground. Professor Humphreys argues that pilots on the ground would not have to deal with jet lag or even the dehydration that comes after long flights. In his words, pilots do not often face extreme challenges and might not be able to deal with an emergency if it happens. Instead, he suggests having a team of airplane specialists in the room with all the remote pilots who could assist with any emergency. He says this would reduce the number of mistakes by pilots. But many pilots disagree. They say that often pilots must make split-second decisions. In the end, the final decision may come down to passengers. Are travelers more worried about a pilot killing them or stepping onto a plane without a pilot?
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English.
monkeys are entertaining. They can swing through trees, hang by their tails, play, dance, kiss, and argue. A Disney movie captures all of that and more. Katie Weaver has the story.
The nature film, Monkey Kingdom, stars a group of monkeys that live among the ruins of the ancient city of Polonnaruwa in Sri Lanka. These small, reddish-colored monkeys are known as toque macaque monkeys. They also follow an established social order. Monkey Kingdom centers on Maya and her newborn, Kip. Maya is low on the social order among the monkeys. She struggles to find food and safety. That struggle increases when she has Kip. Maya is a resourceful monkey. She fights for territory when other troops of monkeys try to invade her living area. The drama and the danger is real. Tina Fey narrated Monkey Kingdom. Reviews say her skills as a comedian add humor to the story. Maya's love interest, Kumar, first appears in the movie jumping strongly and skillfully, while the R&B song What a Man plays in the background. Fay then describes Kumar as 15 pounds of hunky monkey. But Fay also says the monkeys are funny on their own. At one point, Maya is desperate for food. She leads some monkeys on a raid of a human house in the area. They enjoy some birthday cake and steal eggs. The monkeys are far from alone at the Polonnaruwa ruins. There are many kinds of animal neighbors, including leopards and monitor lizards that see the monkeys as a food source. Danger is all around, but most of it comes from the sharp climb Maya makes up the social order. Co-director Mark Linfield said Disney Nature spent almost 3 years filming Monkey Kingdom. He told National Public Radio that shooting the movie was easier than one might think. He said researchers have been studying the monkeys at the ruins for 50 years. He said they were able to explain the animals' behavior and often correctly predict their actions during shooting. Monkey Kingdom is the latest in a series of nature documentaries from Disney Nature. The documentary combines fun with education. It is probably best for children 8 years and older. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. Large numbers of ethnic Rohingya fled Myanmar earlier this year. Many went to Indonesia and Malaysia, countries where the majority of the population is Muslim. Myanmar, also known as Burma, is a largely Buddhist country. The government does not recognize the Rohingya as a separate group of people. It considers them illegal migrants from neighboring Bangladesh. Yet many Rohingya have lived in northern Myanmar since the early 1900s. Rohingya have repeatedly been the victims of violence in Myanmar. Since 2012, tens of thousands of them have been living at overcrowded camps. Many have fled the camps for places such as Indonesia. Smugglers have helped the fleeing Rohingya avoid discovery on their often dangerous overseas trip. Some Rohingya who survived the trip say they were abused at sea and on land by smugglers. They say others were shot and killed or thrown into the water because they were unable to pay the people who were supposed to be helping them. Amnesty International says it spoke with some of the survivors. It reports that hundreds, maybe thousands more refugees and migrants have perished at sea than first estimated. The group says the number is much higher than the official United Nations estimate of 370 deaths. Anna Shea is a researcher for refugee and migrant rights at Amnesty International in London.
Abuses that were perpetrated against them by the boat crews were just unimaginable, including young children who spoke with me about being beaten many times a day, being thrown into the sea for hours on end. Some of them drowned and some of them survived. Just horrific scale and severity of abuses.
Amnesty International says its representatives spoke with 179 asylum-seeking refugees in August. Most of the refugees were staying in Aceh, Indonesia. Amnesty also spoke with Aceh residents, members of civil society organizations, and officials with government and international agencies. The group reports that almost every Rohingya it contacted said they had either been beaten by boat crews or had seen others being beaten. The report says people were beaten for moving, for begging for food or water, or for asking to use the toilet. Children were beaten for crying. Amnesty International published its report as another sailing season begins in the Bay of Bengal and the Andaman Sea. Rights groups have not confirmed that more Rohingya have started fleeing Myanmar. But two small boats reportedly sailed to Malaysia recently from Chittagong in Bangladesh and Arakan State in Myanmar. The boats were said to be carrying a few hundred people. Earlier this year, an estimated 13,000 people fled Myanmar and Bangladesh by sea to escape bad economic conditions. Experts do not believe the number fleeing in the next few weeks will be that high. There are reports that Bangladesh and Malaysia may soon reach an agreement to let hundreds of thousands of Bangladeshis work legally in Malaysia. This would reduce the need for people to flee Bangladesh with the help of smugglers. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz.
Now the special English program, American Stories. Today's story is called The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. It is about something strange that happened long ago in a valley called Sleepy Hollow. It was written by Washington Irving. The story is told by Doug Johnson.
The valley known as Sleepy Hollow hides from the world in the high hills of New York State. There are many stories told about the Quiet Valley, but the story that people believe most is about a man who rides a horse at night. The story says the man died many years ago during the American Revolutionary War. His head was shot off. Every night he rises from his burial place, jumps on his horse, and rides through the valley looking for his lost head. Near Sleepy Hollow is a village called Tarrytown. It was settled many years ago by people from Holland. The village had a small school and one teacher named Ichabod Crane. Ichabod Crane was a good name for him because he looked like a tall bird, a crane. He was tall and thin like a crane. His shoulders were small, joining two long arms. His head was small, too, and flat on top. He had big ears, large, glassy green eyes, and a long nose. Ichabod did not make much money as a teacher, and although he was tall and thin, he ate like a fat man. To help him pay for his food, he earned extra money teaching young people to sing. Every Sunday after church, Ichabod taught singing. Among the ladies Ichabod taught was one Katrina Van Tassel. She was the only daughter of a rich Dutch farmer. She was a girl in bloom, much like a round, red, rosy apple. Ichabod had a soft and foolish heart for the ladies, and soon found himself interested in Miss Van Tassel. Ichabod's eyes opened wide when he saw the riches of Katrina's farm. Miles of apple trees and wheat fields, and hundreds of fat farm animals. He saw himself as master of the Van Tassel farm, with Katrina as his wife. But there were many problems blocking the road to Katrina's heart. One was a strong young man named Bram Van Brunt. Bram was a hero to all the young ladies. His shoulders were big, his back was wide, and his hair was short and curly. He always won the horse races in Tarrytown and earned many prizes. Bram was never seen without a horse. Sometimes, late at night, Bram and his friends would rush through town shouting loudly from the backs of their horses. Tired old ladies would awaken from their sleep and say, "Why, there goes Bram Van Brunt leading his wild group again." Such was the enemy Ichabod had to defeat for Katrina's heart. Stronger and wiser men would not have tried, but Ichabod had a plan. He could not fight his enemy in the open, so he did it silently and secretly. He made many visits to Katrina's farm and made her think he was helping her to sing better. Time passed, and the town people thought Ichabod was winning. Bram's horse was never seen at Katrina's house on Sunday nights anymore. One day in autumn, Ichabod was asked to come to a big party at the Van Tassel home. He dressed in his best clothes. A farmer loaned him an old horse for the long trip to the party. The house was filled with farmers and their wives, red-faced daughters, and clean, washed sons. The tables were filled with different things to eat. wine filled many glasses. Brom Van Brunt rode to the party on his fastest horse, called Daredevil. All the young ladies smiled happily when they saw him. Soon, music filled the rooms, and everyone began to dance and sing. Ichabod was happy dancing with Katrina as Brom looked at them with a jealous heart. The night passed. The music stopped, and the young people sat together to tell stories about the Revolutionary War. Soon, stories about Sleepy Hollow were told. The most feared story was about the rider looking for his lost head. One farmer told how he raced the headless man on a horse. The farmer ran his horse faster and faster. The horsemen followed over bush and stone until they came to the end of the valley. There, the headless horseman suddenly stopped. Gone were his clothes and his skin. All that was left was a man with white bones shining in the moonlight. The stories ended, and time came to leave the party. Ichabod seemed very happy until he said good night to Katrina. Was she ending their romance? He left feeling very sad. Had Katrina been seeing Ichabod just to make Brom Van Brunt jealous so he would marry her? Well, Ichabod began his long ride home through the hills that surround Tarrytown. He had never felt so lonely in his life. He began to whistle as he came close to the tree where a man had been killed years ago by rebels. He thought he saw something white move in the tree. But no, it was only the moonlight shining and moving on the tree. Then he heard a noise. His body shook. He kicked his horse faster. The old horse tried to run, but almost fell in the river instead. Ichabod hit the horse again. The horse ran fast and then suddenly stopped, almost throwing Ichabod forward to the ground. There, in the dark woods, on the side of the river where the bushes grow low, stood an ugly thing, big and black. It did not move, but seemed ready to jump like a giant monster. Ichabod's hair stood straight up. It was too late to run, and in his fear, he did the only thing he could. His shaking voice broke the silent valley. "Who are you?" The thing did not answer. Ichabod asked again. Still no answer. Ichabod's old horse began to move forward. The black thing began to move along the side of Ichabod's horse in the dark. Ichabod made his horse run faster. The black thing moved with them. Side by side they moved, slowly at first, and not a word was said. Ichabod felt his heart sink. Up a hill they moved above the shadow of the trees. For a moment, the moon shone down, and to Ichabod's horror, he saw it was a horse, and it had a rider. But the rider's head was not on his body. It was in front of the rider, resting on the horse. Ichabod kicked and hit his old horse with all his power. Away they rushed through bushes and trees across the valley of Sleepy Hollow. Up ahead was the old church bridge where the headless horseman stops and returns to his burial place. "If only I can get there first, I am safe," thought Ichabod. He kicked his horse again. The horse jumped onto the bridge and raced over it like the sound of thunder. Ichabod looked back to see if the headless man had stopped. He saw the man pick up his head and throw it with a powerful force. The head hit Ichabod in the face and knocked him off his horse to the dirt below. They found Ichabod's horse the next day peacefully eating grass. They could not find Ichabod. They walked all across the valley. They saw the footmarks of Ichabod's horse as it had raced through the valley. They even found Ichabod's old hat in the dust near the bridge. But they did not find Ichabod. The only other thing they found was lying near Ichabod's hat. It was the broken pieces of a round orange pumpkin. The town people talked about Ichabod for many weeks. They remembered the frightening stories of the valley, and finally they came to believe that the headless horseman had carried Ichabod away. Much later, an old farmer returned from a visit to New York City. He said he was sure he saw Ichabod there. He thought Ichabod silently left Sleepy Hollow because he had lost Katrina. As for Katrina, her mother and father gave her a big wedding when she married Brom Van Brunt. Many people who went to the wedding saw that Brom smiled whenever Ichabod's name was spoken, and they wondered why he laughed out loud when anyone talked about the broken orange pumpkin found lying near Ichabod's old dusty hat.
You have heard The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, written by Washington Irving. It was first published in 1820. Listen next week to The Voice of America for another American story in special English. Thank you.